Final hour on a Lions Victory Monday. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. And TJ Lang in studio. TJ, good morning.
Morning, guys.
What time did you get in?
Good weekend. I pulled in the driveway probably about 3 o'clock. So.
In the morning?
Morning, yeah. Yeah.
Just clarifying for everybody.
Yes. The most recent 3 o'clock.
Yes. As in like six hours ago. Yeah. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah.
Sleep
good.
Fast.
Yeah. It was a good flight. Had some traumatic flights from Arizona at times, going through the desert and the mountains and everything. But no, last night was
smooth.
It was nice. Yeah. Capped off a good weekend.
So we've been asking people, Tigers, Lions, everything from the weekend. Like what? Obviously, you were at the Lions game. But what story has you hooked more?
Man, I think it might be the Tigers.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, even yesterday, doing the pregame show, we're all sitting there and somebody had the Tigers game up on their iPad, and you're just like so invested right now. Everything they do, I want to see. You know, it's such a fun team to watch, and the young players. I mean, it just seems like they don't know any better. Now they're actually in a spot though, so the challenge is going to be to hold on to that spot. They've been chasing the last couple weeks, but they've been it's been exciting, and just thinking about potentially, you know, getting back to Comerica Park for some playoff baseball. I mean, that's got me excited.
I know. We were both living different lives the last time they were in postseason baseball.
Yeah, and the last time I was supposed to go was, we were supposed to go to Game 5 of the World Series in 2011.
Yeah.
And ended up getting swept, so
yeah.
We didn't get a chance to go.
Yeah. Jim was still in diapers.
That's a good point. But Michigan, you know, come Michigan, big win Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, Tigers getting it done. Michigan State losing. I mean, that's trifecta.
You got to save that for Friday.
Trifecta. No, but it was good. I'm enamored with the Tigers. I mean, what they've done, clearly, you know, it's well documented. I think only one time in the history of baseball has a team ever trailed
51
by this
years.
Much and come back. So it is. It really feels like they've got something special brewing. Yeah. And I heard your question coming in. You know, World Series and stuff. Like, when you first said it, I'm like, come on, that's kind of dumb.
Crazy.
Let's just get in and like try to win one series. Then the more I think about it, I'm like, why not? It's baseball. You got a hot team. You've had the hottest team in the last month. Like, why am I supposed to believe that all of a sudden it's just going to start to falter?
Right. It's not been a series or two. They've won 10 out of the last series. And if you take that moving forward, your odds are in your favor because it's not just a hot weekend. It's been a hot 6 weeks that they have consistently played good baseball.
And you keep thinking the wheels are going to fall off with this bullpen. And I just keep riding it till the wheels fall off because it hasn't. Like, every button they press in the bullpen has worked.
Yeah. And I don't know what's coming. I mean, some of the guys that they have pitching, I'm like, who?
Right.
Wait,
guys?
This guy, he's coming in the eighth inning? What? Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I trust
Let's
AJ.
Let's see what happens.
All right. Hanafy. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. I think you just nailed it there. We trust AJ.
Yes.
It's not just what he is doing in regards to the opener and then the group effort days. It's making the decisions in the middle to pull a Carey Carpenter and bring in somebody else, or vice versa. Like, you look at the lineup, you're like, okay, this is how we're going to start. But then you look at it at the end, and there's been, four different pinch hitters. And it just seems like he's pulling the right strings at all the right times.
Right. So we've made this a split ticket Monday. Normally, this would be all Lions. We've made it split ticket. People can call in and talk Tigers or Lions, and we'll do college later in the week. I mean, Michigan deserves some time probably on Tuesday. It's a big win for them in a Big Ten game to kick off conference play.
Yeah.
Within the Lions, what you liked, what you didn't like, you guys can call in all hour, 248-539-9797. TJ, let's start with you. What'd you like? What didn't you like?
I liked getting back to who you are and your identity and the toughness and dominating at the line of scrimmage and the 188 rushing yards. Would have been more if you didn't take some kneels at the end. But
how much did you like? Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. carrying David Montgomery, the offensive line, while he's kicking his feet. He's not even touching the ground. You had to love that.
There was a couple plays. Like there was like almost, I think, back-to-back plays where they were shoving, you know, for an extra 3, 4, 5. That play, maybe 6, 7 yards. That's good stuff. And I've coached Dan Miller well because all the announcers, oh, look at Montgomery churning his feet and carrying five guys. It's like, dude, look at the offensive line coming behind him and shoving him, all right?
There's
like, give the big guys
the
credit. What are we doing here? But that was... that was just like a toughness play, right? We're going to get 2-3, and then everybody gets in there, right? Amon-Ra kind of circles back around and starts shoving. That was Lomas and I, we got pretty excited in the booth when we saw that. That's just that's such a good play. It can be a demoralizing play.
When it's a backbreaker.
You've got four guys on defense, and you're just shoving them, right? And you're just 4, 5, 6 yards. It happened, I don't want to get sidetracked, it happened yesterday. I don't know if you saw the Colts. One of the Colts touchdowns where the entire offense was just shoving them around. But it's a demoralizing play. And offense, man, that's just kind of establishing dominance, I think, at times.
Now, one of these ended up in a touchdown, so that maybe is the deciding factor. But which one was more fun? David Montgomery for 6 yards with feet not even touching the ground, or the hook and ladder?
Well, the hook and ladder was more exciting, I think. You know, the Dave Montgomery play you look at, you say, okay.
Who was excited? Okay, which one was more fun?
Well, for who? For the offensive
lineman? I'm asking an offensive lineman, and I want to know.
I think more fun is anytime you score a touchdown.
Okay.
Then you go to the sideline and you get some water, man. You know what I mean? You're shoving a guy for 6 yards, you still got to live to play second and two.
It's and like, you're even more tired.
Yeah, you score a touchdown, you're like, dude, I get to go to the sideline, man.
Yeah. No yellow flags, I'm done.
So anytime you score, that one's always a little bit more fun. But that was what a play call, man. That was that was sweet.
And defense.
Defense was incredible.
We got to start talking about the defense. As much as we fixate on the offense and not scoring any points in the second half, TJ, this defense, again, 3 straight weeks has carried this team.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean? Like, that was the big question, is could they catch up to the offense? And the story of that game was Arizona 1 of 11 on 3rd and 4th down.
Yeah.
No deep passing, no running, nothing.
I don't know about you guys. I started getting nervous there in the second half when the offense kept punting and punting and punting. And I'm like, okay, I hate putting this much pressure and asking the defense to go out there, get another stop, get another stop, get another stop. But, yeah, I mean, I think we can all agree that, you know, the offense looked really good in the first half and then stumbled in the second half, and certainly has been kind of the MO the first 3 games, at least. The offense is looking really good at times, but probably not hitting their full potential yet, right? Yeah. Probably yesterday I'd say maybe a B-minus, you know, C-plus performance from the offense in the second half.
Right.
The run game was good, don't get me wrong. Jared Goff was better. I think the one interception, dropped the defensive end, never saw him. Not making excuses, but he looked like he was getting more decisive, right? So you saw improvement, but for their standard, I think they're probably not going in today feeling, oh yeah, man, we're feeling great about ourselves, we're clicking on all cylinders. They still got a lot of work to do, but it is good to see some improvements week to week, right? Last week, everybody talking about the red zone and how pathetic it was, 1 for 7. You know, when you go out yesterday and you're 2 for 2, really 3 for 3, because the other one was a 21-yarder. Yeah. So, you know, you like to see improvements there. You like to see improvements on the defense, right? When's the last time, you know, we faced a mobile quarterback like that and held him under 100 yards? You know what I'm saying? Like, it seemed
one
like
touchdown.
every running quarterback we've played in the last 3 years goes for a bill on us.
Yeah, triple digits,
Yeah, and then the run defense, I mean, you hold Arizona's running backs to 13 carries and like 32 yards. That's not a flash in the pan. That's real. And that's who they've been for a long time. So I think the offense, you're going in there today feeling, you know what? We didn't play our best. We certainly stumbled a little bit in the second half, but you have to have a lot of confidence with the way your defense is playing, right? I know I certainly do. I'm sure all the fans do. It feels different. And it feels like the secondary. I know Terrion Arnold's kind of getting picked on still with some of the physical coverage plays. But
he played better as the game went on.
He did play better. And there was really, I mean, I don't remember seeing any wide receivers running wide open. It was sticky man coverage. They trusted those guys. They just kept saying, you know what, we're up 2 scores, but we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to pressure a little bit. We're going to put, Terrion Arnold and Carlton Davis, you guys are 1-on-1, right? You got to go out there and win. And they won a lot more than Arizona did. And that was very encouraging from my view.
I thought Carlton Davis had a big day too.
Especially in the run game. Yeah, the run game coming
just
up.
Just that one PI in the fourth quarter there.
I don't think it was fourth, but it was one where they both were grabbing and he was upset. Yeah. It was PI because he was grabbing him.
He just had him hooked a little bit. Probably didn't need to on Marvin Harrison, but
yeah.
The big stop on, you know, he had a really nice tackle on a second down and then a couple plays later, the fourth down. Getting Kyler Murray down. So defense looked really, really good.
What'd you like? What didn't you like? Lions reaction. And if the Tigers have your attention, call in, talk Tigers. We'll get to it next. 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in the state of Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. And with that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all, and that's all-day IPA. And here's what you get. It's a refreshing and deliciously flavorful, easy drinking and high quality beer. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. And speaking of great times, we've got plenty of them right now. All Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game days, whether it's in the stadium, at the tailgate, at home. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, TJ Lang in for the final hour on a Monday. We'll get to the phones. Lions reaction. Tiger phone calls allowed too, by the way. They control their own destiny. All right, perfect. Let's get to Thomas and Wixom. Thomas, you're on 97.1.
Hey, gentlemen. Just wanted to touch on one thing. Great win yesterday, obviously. Gritty win. Wasn't the prettiest things on the offensive side of the ball. But there was just one problem I had with the game. And again, not taking anything away from the win. I felt like the play calling was a little too conservative late in that third quarter, especially in the fourth quarter. You're up by 10. Just go down the field and put the game away. You know, kudos to our defense. They were put in some tough situations, given short fields. I mean, the Cardinals offense was 1-for-9 on third down, 0-for-2 on fourth down. So, I mean, the defense, hats off to them. I just felt like kind of the same thing that we had last year. We don't do very well in the third quarter. We play a little conservative when we get up. And Arizona Cardinals, they're a good team. They're not great. Those are the teams you put away when you have the opportunity to. So, you know, you give your defense a little break, especially, I mean, it felt like our defense was on the field so long in the third and fourth quarter especially. But that's really all I wanted to say. Other than that, one more thing. Kostolak came through. And you better Kostolak it this week, too, on Monday. That's it, gentlemen.
Thank you, Thomas. Yeah, TJ, you can tell those afternoon guys to lay off about this Kostolak business. Apparently, they're giving me a hard time for that.
Oh, that's the first I've heard of it.
Oh, okay. I don't know if they did that while you were in.
No. Did you hit the Kostolak?
Yeah, there was Lions laying three. Yeah. We're good,
well,
dude.
They got it back off then.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, with Thomas's call, though, I mean, it's not like they're not trying to score, right? I mean, it's not just as easy as like, all right, guys, quit messing around. Let's go score. They try. I think, but, you know, I think the only... And your question to start the show, what did you not like? There's a couple calls in the second half that I didn't like. I think the 4th-and-1, I loved the decision to go for it. But that call just looked out of sorts, right? You're going a speed break. You're getting the line super fast, and you're just snapping the ball. And you're not really allowing your offensive line any time to, you know, look at the defense, make any calls. Hey, maybe we got a defense that we didn't practice for. We got to change the double team, right? Maybe I got to go with the center instead of the right tackle. That just looked out of sorts. And then a couple drives later, actually, I think it was after, you know, David Montgomery was getting carried for a bunch of yards, they get a 3rd-and-1. And I think they went 4 wide and, you know, just had Montgomery in the backfield in shotgun. And Buda Baker's clearly showing he's blitzing. They still try to run the ball up the middle and end up getting stuffed for a loss. So, I didn't think they tried to play too conservative. I just think that there were plays that, you know, Ben Johnson mentioned last week. Hey, he probably had a couple he wanted back. I think he's probably going to feel the same today, especially that 3rd-and-1, right? You're going out of, you know, 12 personnel, 13 personnel, I formation, you're pounding them, you're getting 6 yards a gain, and third and one, you go shotgun spread. That was a call that, if I was Ben Johnson, I think I would want back this morning.
I think there's a lot of people that, especially after you watch the first two drives that were so efficient and so effective, you score touchdowns, that at some point in the second half, everybody just wants, okay, enough is enough. This is close. This has been fun. It's been cute. Let's go full Rams and overtime on them. And just call, you know, eight runs and march right down the field. They did it and made it look easy. So that's what everybody is thinking. When you just need a score and you're tired of messing around with the team, that's what you're going to dial up. But it's not as simple as that.
Yeah, so if we look at the first half, it flew by. It flew by. They had four possessions, scored touchdowns on three of them.
Yeah.
Second half got bogged down. Lions had the ball seven times. Punt, pick, downs, punt, 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 end of game. So, yeah, they had chances to put away and didn't. At the end of the day, though, they went on the road and won by a touchdown. They led by two scores for most of the fourth quarter, and Arizona never had the ball with a chance to tie in the second half.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I know it wasn't convincing enough for some people. That's a convincing win in the NFL, and it's because of the defense.
Well, and here, you know, we talk about the offensive line controlling the line of scrimmage, and the defensive line has done that in the run game over the past, you know, now going on 2 years. But the difference is they're also controlling the line of scrimmage when it comes to pass rush. And yeah, the headliner is Aiden Hutchinson with 6.5 sacks. But you have had other individuals, Levi Onwuzurike, Marcus Davenport. You know, he was out last week, but he's been a guy that's been able to put pressure on opposites. Aleem McNeil. Now, Aleem McNeil, you know, left that game. But then you got DJ Reader. Like, you have a number of different guys that can apply pressure and can make that switch from a run down to pass.
Let's get back to the phones. David in St. Clair Shores. Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
What's up?
I'm just curious. Do you think we'll ever see the powerful leg of Jake Bates, you know, kicking some 60-yard field goals?
I mean, when called upon, sure.
If
I mean,
the situation's right.
Yeah, yeah, end a half, end a game.
I mean, I'd like to think that, but, you know, we haven't used it yet. And we had some opportunity, but we got him for that reason, you know, because he's not the greatest up close. He's not terrible. But I'm just wondering, you know, do you think Campbell's going to go that way, or is he going to keep trying to score some touchdowns instead?
I'm trying to think yesterday.
There wasn't a situation yesterday, but I think he's thinking about, was it week one or week two?
I know you had one against Tampa where it was about the 41 and
yeah, it would have been like a
58, but you're looking at that point, you're down four. If we don't get this, we're giving them the ball at midfield, right? So probably not the right situation. And look, yesterday, I mean, you miss an extra point. That's probably not giving your coach confidence to roll you out there for any long ones, you know? No. And I'm just saying, like, that's just the fact. I mean, you go out and miss a chip shot, you miss a layup, you know, especially with a young kicker on game day, that's not a recipe to give your coach confidence to say, all right, coach, I got the 55-yarder now.
Right. His long so far this year is 35 yards.
Yeah.
Right. So, and we've seen the NFL this season. Kickers are 55, 56, 57-yard field goals are nothing for a lot of these guys. And Bates will be a weapon, like you said, if called upon, if the situation calls for it.
Well, I think, look, if you're up two, you know, you're up two scores in that game, would you rather potentially go for a long field goal and miss and now give momentum back to Arizona at midfield? Or keep utilizing what was a super weapon yesterday in Jack Fox and four punts inside the 12-yard line.
Underrated. Right? Really good game for Jack Fox.
Yeah, just that never felt like yesterday was the appropriate time to try one of those field goals. If you're up three scores, you know, and maybe it's the end of half, right, and you want to try to hit a walk-off, I'd like to see it. But I didn't think any situation yesterday called for a long field goal.
We had a guy calling earlier, and he was like upset about two in-game decisions for Dan Campbell. He's like, he's not a good leader. He's like, wait, I'm sorry, what day is it? What's going on right now? One of his TJ's real call. One of his criticisms was a fourth and one, they didn't kick the field goal. He's like, I'm sorry, did you just drop down from a different planet? Were you under any other belief that they weren't going to go for it on a fourth and one? And to your point, situationally, let's say they go for it. This wasn't a 60-yard kick.
It would have been like a 51,
sure.
52.
And let's say Jake Bates makes it. You go from up two scores
to up two scores. Yeah.
Where a first down may put the game away. And it's 1 yard. Like, of course they're going to go for it for 1 yard. The other criticism the guy had was that Dan burned a timeout, wasted a timeout on a 4th-and-1 that they ended up punting the ball anyway. They were up 2 scores. I mean, yeah. Sure, I think it's, I would rather keep the timeout, all things being equal, but it's such a nitpicky nonsense point.
Well, it
in
is.
In a game where they comfortably won.
Yeah, and I mean, it's all about context in when the timeout happens and you're up 2 scores. At some point, and who knows what's going on the sidelines in regards to, did they have 11 on the field? Did they possibly have 10? Did they have too many? You don't want to take a penalty in that situation. Right. So you just make sure that you get things done right. And if you need a little extra time on a play, so be it.
I'm trying to remember what situation that was.
What?
Where Dan Campbell called a timeout on a 4th down?
Yeah, it was.
When was that?
Fourth quarter. Yeah, it might have been. Yeah, it was their second to last drive. They had the ball at the Detroit 47.
Yeah, with like 3 minutes left.
6:54 left on the clock. They punt the ball 46 yards down to the Arizona 7. Cardinals would drive down and kick a field goal. Lions put it away the next drive.
Okay, I gotcha. But you're also trying to eat clock there. You know what I mean? At that situation, hey, let's roll the clock down to
1 second.
Right. We're going to punt with 15 seconds in a 2-score, you know, it was, ended up being a 1-score game after that, but yeah, that situation, you're trying to bleed as much clock as you can, burn a timeout. Okay, we're up 2 scores and, you know, kick the ball away.
It was such a stupid, unnecessary phone call to make.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
2-4-8.
Well, people are high expectations now. That's what it is. People,
well, and TJ, we welcome that. That's fine.
There are people that, you know, if this team doesn't score more than 35 points or they don't win by more than 3 scores, or, you know, unfortunately, not happy enough.
So right? Last year, week 3, the Lions scored 20 points and won. They beat Atlanta 20-6. 2-1, would go on to win 12 games, win the division, 2 playoff games.
Yeah, I mean, so basically, it's Kyler Murray got you a touchdown. Yeah. He was greater than Desmond Ridder.
They've held serve with what they did a year ago, and if you're saying, well, they need to be better than they were a year ago, I would argue defensively they look better than a year ago.
And Monday night will be a great measuring stick of, are they better than last year? Seattle has been that team that has had Detroit's number over the last couple of years.
Think about how this week sets up. Oh. The Tigers, 6-game homestand, pack Comerica Park, chase down a playoff spot. Final day of the season is Sunday. The Lions don't play. So the Tigers get Sunday to themselves locally. Then Monday, it's an off day before the playoffs start on Tuesday. And on that off day, we get Monday Night Football.
Lions have the nation to themselves.
It sets up so well for us. For this city that's deserved this kind of run from not one team, but 2 teams at the same time. All right, phone calls 248-539-9797. You guys want to jump in and talk about our football team? Great. You want to talk baseball? We'll make some room for you as well. It's 97.1. Get off the sidelines. Get into the game with Moran Chevrolet. We're talking about deals. Go to moranexpress.com where you can check out all the available models, including some 2025s. I was looking at that earlier today. Moran Chevrolet, where GM employees and immediate family members can lease a 2024 Equinox EV for just $268 per month. That's zero down. It's Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Moran has shipments arriving daily. They're going to have what you're looking for. Score the best deal at moranexpress.com or in person on Gratiot, north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. Dan Miller on the call. Heard a little TJ Lang sitting in studio with us to wrap the show. TJ, Lions secondary. I feel like we've talked enough about them. Kirby Joseph with the pick there. What'd they do so well that took away the deep parts of the field?
The man coverage was sticky, you know, and physical at times. You had a couple penalties. But I just like that. I don't know. I have PTSD sometimes still, maybe from a couple years ago, that every time we were man coverage, somebody would be wide open by like 10 yards. So now I look up and I'm like, okay, it's man coverage. Like, you know, let's just stay close. But no, that's what Aaron Glenn wants to do. Dan Campbell told me after the game, they want to be a man-to-man team. You got a new secondary, right? These guys haven't played a ton together yet. And some young players in there as well. So I think that they probably needed to see it throughout the first couple games. But yesterday was, I mean, it was really, you're up 2 scores and you're looking and you're saying, okay, how are they going to adjust? Are they going to play more, you know, bend, don't break, zone coverage, keep everything in front of them. And they just kept running tight man-to-man coverage. And it was outstanding. I mean, it was really good. And you had times before Branch went out where they were doing a good job mixing up, hey, he's going to drop underneath or he's going to be over the top. Kirby's jumping up, a little outside leverage, inside leverage, you know, so they were able to play with those guys and put them in different positions to really confuse Kyler Murray. I mean, it got to a point where he was just heaving up, you know, 50-50 balls there at the end of the game. And that interception, you know, I think it was just, hey, we're just going to try to take a shot. And Kyler Murray, that's the first time he's really looked like that this year. I mean, you watch those first two games against Buffalo and last week against the Rams, man, he looked like one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
Those looks weren't available on Xbox.
No. That's a good point. Well, maybe he put down the Xbox controller, but maybe he picked it up last week.
Yeah.
No, I think the coverage was just, it was super sticky. The guys were physical, and the refs let him play a little bit. There were probably a couple more where, you know, they were giving both guys the benefit of the doubt, but that's the defense they want to play.
When you look at what they've been able to do in man coverage, how much better is that man coverage when your quarterback doesn't have a long time to throw?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it as well.
No, that was just popped in the back of my mind in the pass rush. You know, I think that has probably changed what Aaron Glenn wants to do schematically as well. It's been three games in a row, and, you know, I know
he doesn't have to bring an extra rusher to get pressure.
You can send four-man rush, and even when you do send six-man rush, you trust your guys are holding up because they're holding up against four-man rush. But, yeah, that's been – I think that's changed as well. I think we saw week one, it was kind of a lot of soft zone coverage, and, hey, we like our pass rush, but we got to see it. And then you go out, you know, 20-some pressures against Stafford and the five sacks last week. I think that's Aaron Glenn saying, you know what, I believe in this pass rush. We're going up against another – you know, backup tackle, you know, so we trust that Aiden Hutchinson is going to be able to be a game wrecker again, which he had a lot of really nice rushes yesterday, but again, the ball was coming out pretty quick. But yeah, I think a big part of that too is we're probably not going to have to cover longer than 3 seconds, right? And so we can play a little bit tighter to the line of scrimmage. We can take chances, maybe jumping some routes and getting our hands on the ball and maybe creating some of those, you know, tip balls and interceptions. And it changed after the first drive. I mean, the first drive, Kyler Murray was buying a lot of time, and they were running a lot of play action and a lot of seven-man protection, so the pass rush wasn't great. Even the touchdown I think Kyler Murray threw was, you know, he was kind of drifting back there forever. But the way that you were able to stop the run, the way you were able to get up two scores, that's going to be the design for this defense to have a lot of success. Just release the pass rushers, let your secondaries play tight man-to-man coverage, and try to get a takeaway, which turned out to be a huge play in that game.
And there's also one less guy in the routes because you're taking a tight end, a wide receiver, or a running back to chip or to block Aiden Hutchinson along with that tackle, so you don't have as many guys that you have to cover down the field.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think the pass rush is legit, and you know, Aiden Hutchinson certainly. I mean, it's three straight weeks where, you know, you're not playing any all pro tackles, but you know what? That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, if you're a game record and you're a dominant player, you're supposed to dominate against backups. So he's doing what he's supposed to do. And Seattle coming in next week, I didn't get a chance to watch their game yesterday, but, you know, that's an O-line that kind of gave them a little bit of trouble last year. I think if they allow Seattle to run the ball and get in those bootlegs and the play actions that has been killing the Lions the last couple of years, then – you know, you're going to have some trouble. But if you continue to stop the run and then just release these guys on a third down and late in the game, if you're up two scores, man, like they're going to win a lot of games like that.
Let's get to the phones. You guys have a lot to say after this one. 248-539-9797. Let's start with Cameron. You're on 97.1.
Happy Monday, guys.
Happy Monday.
So I may sound a little cliche, but another alarming issue this season, and it dates back all the way to the NFC Championship, is this team's inability to score in the second half. You got to find a way to put teams away and not let them claw their way back into the games.
Oh, I agree. I mean, coming out of halftime, and we've had this discussion, we've talked to Dan about it before, you make those halftime adjustments and you come out, and the third quarter has been a struggle to put points on the board.
Well, and I almost feel like every time they start off the second half with possession, it's usually a three and out. And then the momentum is shifted right back to the other team because they were able to hold you to, you know, X amount of points in the first half. So their adjustments are counteractive to what we need to be doing, and that's scoring points in the second half, which this team has not proven they can do.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, this past week, the emphasis was clearly we got to get better in the red zone. And, you know, it'd be wouldn't be surprised if this week it's, you know, hey, we got to get better in the second half. We got to find ways to, you know, go down there and eat up clock and get points on the board. And you just look, and it's not like, you know, they're going out there and just, you know, playing conservative and, okay, run, punt. Like, there's just little plays that pop up, right? A sack on second down that now you're looking at a third and, you know, 11 instead of a third and short. Third and one, you get a false start, right? Now you're looking at a third and six, and if you can't convert, man, like, that penalty hurt, right? You're looking at a third and one where, you know, you decide to go shotgun, and now we got stuffed. You know, fourth and one, you go for it, you don't get it, right? So. Yep. I don't think it's playing conservative, but you're right. I think that maybe you got to look at some ways to be, I would say, maybe a little bit more creative on some third downs in the second half, just to keep the drives moving. Calls. I don't think it was an alarm. I don't feel alarmed by it, as Cameron said, but I think that's something they're probably going to put an emphasis on this week.
Look, I think it's fair to bring it up. The team has the standard of winning a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be an elite offense. I think it's fair to bring up today that they did not score at all in the second half. Fine. I just don't think it should be the headline.
Well, they didn't score, but Arizona only scored 3 points in the second half.
And that's the headline. You guys were just breaking down the defense. That's the headline to me, is that this defense, which has gotten so much attention for not being good enough, for being the weakness, the Achilles heel, you can't say it after 3 weeks. You sure as hell can't say it after yesterday. The defense made that a two-score game, held it a two-score game for most of the fourth quarter, and the Cardinals never had a chance to tie it up in the fourth quarter because the offense did eventually put the game away, and it was Goff to St. Brown, Goff with his feet, and nearly 190 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, it wasn't a perfect offensive game, and we can invite that criticism, but it can't be the headline. The headline is TJ's first words, identity, and the conversation we've been having, defense. If you're going to run it, if you're going to play defense, if your quarterback can make the plays at the end of the game, you're going to win a lot of games and you're going to be a Super Bowl team. So I get it. I get why people bring it up. I do, but I don't think it's this huge issue or overly concerning. It's 97-1.
A lot of attention on the Tigers, a lot of attention on the Detroit Lions. And when you're not thinking about sports, you're probably thinking a little bit about your finances. So that means you need a bank that understands you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you, ask you questions, get to know you as best as they can so that they can build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. It's exactly what they did for me. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The wheels on Jared Goff
came up huge.
Got to watch out for him.
Yeah. Hey, picks up a key first down. Game over.
It's 2 weeks in a row. Didn't he have a little bootleg against Tampa, too?
I think it might be 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah. I think he had one against the Rams.
Oh, all right.
Hendon Hooker, who?
Yeah. Hooker. I think Hendon Hooker's putting some pressure on him to run the ball.
Oh, there you go. Hey, TJ,
rejuvenating him a little bit.
Something on Ticket Text that I wanted to bring up with you at some point. This 2-minute warning thing. People have said the Lions caught a break with the 2-minute warning, mm-hmm. looked like it was a pick six, could have been a game-altering play. The whistles from someone at the game, like, how did that go down?
The whistle was clearly going off before the snap, which you could say the refs maybe blew it dead early, but, I mean, go back and watch the replay. You got guys that clearly heard the whistle that, you know, just kind of stopped blocking or stopped chasing down because, like, okay, something happened, the play was dead, right? So, you could say the refs maybe blew it too early, but I don't think it's the same result,
right?
If they didn't blow the whistle, if that makes sense, right?
Because the guys don't give up on the play.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, one view I saw was 201. The other view was clearly, you know, 2 minute. I think the refs maybe thought, hey, they're just trying to get him off sides up 2 minute, you know, and
yeah, let's get the 2 minute warning.
Yeah, but you could definitely hear the whistles going off. So it should have been a dead play. Was a dead play. I think you have a different outcome if the whistle wasn't blown. Saying that correct, right?
Listen, I know you're okay. Only had a few hours sleep, but you're making sense.
Okay.
You're not the only one that was at the game. We got Chris on hold. He was there. Chris, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I was at Ford Field West yesterday, commonly known as State Farm Stadium. And I have to say the fans, they took over the game in the third and fourth quarter as far as noise. On third downs, it was unbelievable. They didn't put the decimal, with the crowd sound up, but it was definitely louder, and it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. No doubt.
And as far as Murray, he had those defensive guys right in his face, and he couldn't see where he was throwing it. He was throwing it 4 or 5 yards past the receivers, and that did him in. That did him in. On one play in the third quarter when Hutchinson came in on him, he jumped up, and I don't know how he missed the ball.
Well, right between his arms.
Down.
Yeah.
But it was just unbelievable. And the stadium, I'd say at least 50-50 as far as fan bases.
Yeah, and, I think that's fair.
Detroit fans were so awesome there. And actually, a lot of comments after the game from, you know, the Card fans about how great the Detroit fans are. It's unbelievable to have that many people from Detroit at that game.
And, I left the booth a couple minutes left. I have to get down
Do the post-game interview
with Coach. Sometimes I get him right after the game. Sometimes it takes time. But I'm walking down the tunnel, down into the depths of the stadium there. And we knew that it was a big drive for the Lions. And all of a sudden, you hear a gigantic roar. And there's not a TV around. And all the Arizona people are like, oh, my gosh, interception. And I duck in a room real quick. And it's showing the replay of Amon-Ra catching a 3rd and 12. And I was like, oh, my God. Right? Because you kind of got scared. You're like, oh, my gosh, we didn't fumble. We didn't throw an interception, did we? It was the roar from the Lions fans that was so loud that even the Arizona workers thought that the Cardinals had done something good.